Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate. Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Tonight, my co-host is Michael P. McCarthy.
Happy to be here.
Special, you know, great to have an Irishman here for my Irish week of St. Paddy's Day.
Absolutely.
St. Paddy's Week, I guess we'll call it, you know. Got any green beer there with you, Mickey?
No green beer.
No? You got a green vest on, though. Yeah, so there you go. Anyway, we're on an open show tonight, Michael. That means our listeners are our guests. They get to call in and ask any question they want. Anything to do with personal finance, your money, if it deals with your finances,
taxes,
insurances, elder care planning, estate planning, 401ks, Social Security, Medicare. I mean, the list goes on. College planning, FAFSA forms. I don't like FAFSA forms, but you could do. We can talk about FAFSA forms. And if it deals with you, anything to do with your money, it's we're here to talk to you about it. The objective of this show is to demonstrate what a true professional financial advisor should do. In our opinion, that if somebody says, hey, I'm a financial advisor, they should be able to do this. Any topic dealing with your personal finances, they should be able to help you and assist you with. And that's why we do the show, is to help you, but also to demonstrate what we believe in the future you're going to realize is the way that a true professional financial advisor should work. So the phone number is 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask your question, you get to be the guest. You get to direct the conversation. So call in 410-922-6680. So in the interim, I guess I got to listen to you, Mike.
Yep, you're going to have to talk to me. You've got no choice. So callers, please call in. He doesn't like this part. So you've got a webinar coming up, right?
I do.
And it's kind of very timely for what the season is. It's avoiding losses you didn't even know you were going to lose or something like that?
Invisible losses is what I call it. Invisible losses, Mike, is when you... You know, you do your tax. We had some people in today, and a young couple, and they were children of a client of ours, and they had done their tax returns for the last 4 or 5 years, and on TurboTax, and they had no clue whatsoever that when they kept entering in their 401k contributions as if they were IRA contributions, they were paying a penalty for excess contributions to these accounts and charging penalties of $50, $60, $70, $80. And for 5 years, they've been doing this. And it's an invisible loss. They didn't need to do it. They made a mistake. They misinterpreted what the program was asking them. And boom, there's an invisible loss. Day in and day out. There were a few others too, you know, but that was one.
Well, if we run out of callers, we can go through some more of those. I've got one for you.
Okay, you got Jim.
I got Jim in Fort McHenry. Jim, how can we help?
Hey, good evening.
Hey, Jim. Jim. Yes. Are the bombs bursting in the air right there?
No.
Says you're in Fort McHenry. I just want to make sure. Are the bombs bursting in the air?
Right, that was a while ago. It's dissipated since then.
Okay, go ahead. You're on the stage now, buddy.
All right, terrific. Hey, so my mom owns some property. Myself and my sister will be the trustees, you know, the executors, you know, once she passes. And she's doing well right now, and everything's good. But we don't plan on selling any of the property. She lives with me in Maryland, and her property's in Pennsylvania. So I'm wondering... After she passes, you know, as the years go by, does she continue to submit a tax return, or is it an estate return? or, you know, well, we're finding out what we're going to do with the property. You know, long term, we more than likely would not put it in an LLC, you know, and just manage it within the family, but we would probably sell it. But let's say it takes 3 years.
How much land is it, Jim?
It's a residential house. It's some commercial property. It had like a service station on it. It's, you know, no fuel at this point, but an apartment. So like three pieces of property, maybe $400,000, $500,000.
So here's what you have to think about. Number one, when your mother passes away and you guys inherit that property, the value of that property, you're going to owe the state of Pennsylvania 4.5% in inheritance tax. So keep that in mind. And, you know, I think if 4.5% doesn't sound like a good thing, but there's not much of a way to avoid that unless you want to just pay a lot more in federal income taxes someday. Second, when you do inherit the property and it goes through the estate, you do want to put the estate into the asset into an LLC. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you were my client, I'd say you're not my client anymore if you don't put this into an LLC, because that's the way you protect yourself from the immunity of what might happen on those properties. And it gives you more control that if nieces and nephews start inheriting that property, you don't end up in a tangle with your nieces and nephews. You might be able to deal with your siblings, but boom, once they pass away, you're going to be owning that property with your nieces and nephews. So there's a lot of reasons why you want it to go into an LLC. But it's a very complicated question you're asking. Lots of good things, too. Can you hold on if you want to ask another comeback on that? I got to take a quick pause, and then you can come back and ask another question. We're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in. Take it away, traffic.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth. There are two main personal finance issues. How do I reduce taxes, and when can I retire? The Financial Consulate is passionate about both. My personal passion is reducing your tax liabilities because I believe tax laws are illogical and complex. I relish in helping you legally reduce taxes. It delights me and my team to help you retire and remain confident throughout your retirement. Robust retirement planning software and our comprehensive knowledge can build the assurance you need to plot out your retirement goals. If you have $1 million or more invested, including company plans, then we will do a tax planning analysis and retirement plan projection at no cost. If tax savings and retirement are your main concerns, then call 410-823-7283. That's 410-823-SAVE, or search Financial Consulate. That's consulate like an embassy. Let us show you how to lower your tax liability and confidently prepare for retirement.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back on an open show here with Michael P. And we have one caller online who's already asked this question. See, that's what we always say. You know, if you call in early, you get more time, you know. And Jim called in early. He's getting all this time. And you're up next if you're on the line, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. Nobody's on the line, but I'm going to go back to Jim and answer whatever follow-up question he has.
Okay.
Yeah.
Drew, yeah. I'm back to, I got a couple follow-up questions. Number, first of all, the 4% to Pennsylvania, and that's just because the property is in Pennsylvania because she's a resident of Maryland and has been for...
Because you're a non-spousal beneficiary.
Yeah, because the property's in Pennsylvania, it has to be probated in Pennsylvania. And even if she's a Maryland resident, the property's probated in Pennsylvania, so therefore there would be a 4.5% inheritance tax paid by children to inherit the property.
Gotcha. Now, the will is divides it four ways. Three children and the grandchildren, there are six of them, get a quarter. So... would it still make sense to put it right away in an LLC?
Absolutely. Absolutely, because you don't put it in an LLC. You know, Mike and I were talking about this at the break. You said there was a former gas station on there, you know. I'm assuming that those tanks weren't ever taken out of the ground.
Well, they were, and EPA's blessed them as it's a clean site.
Okay, well, that's fine. That at least resolved that big question that you could really been destroyed. But you put it into an LLC for the liability protection for anything else that might happen. Okay, so that's number one. But the other thing is an LLC agreement in the estate that's written up by the estate, the executor gets to determine how that's done. They don't have to ask the other beneficiaries what they think of the LLC agreement. So if the executor is you and your sister, let's say, you could say, okay, me and my sister are the managing partners of this LLC from this point on. Boom, the estate's finished. Now here's your LLC interest, grandchildren and whoever else. And by the way, notice that the new LLC that you just received, me and my sister are the managing partners. You have nothing to do with managing this. You just own it. And don't tell us what you think about it. You know?
Yeah, you got to have a plan because, you know, the roof needs repair. Everybody cough up money. Well, this one doesn't want to. Well, what happens then?
Yeah, and the LLC agreement can address all this stuff. This is how this is done. You know, this is how this is done. If grandchild number four doesn't want to own it anymore, this is how he's going to get rid of his interest. And this is what he's going to have to do to sell it. And we all have the right to take it over first and foremost. And we get to buy it at a bargain price. Da, 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 da. You know, this is the kind of stuff you want done by the estate before you disperse that out to the rest of them. Or else you're just dispersing out a nightmare and a liability risk to yourself.
Wow. Thank you. Very insightful. Thank you so much.
Look, and I tell you, we have clients that have done this. They've dispersed it out as a non-LLC, despite everything we've said. And
the five siblings do not get along.
And the five siblings, and so you can only imagine what, you know, I mean, we couldn't tell our client that we're going to fire him if he doesn't do this because he wasn't the one that didn't want to do it. It was the ones that aren't clients of ours that forced us to do this. So we don't want that. If you have control over this and you're the executor, you just do it and don't give a darn what
the remaining
beneficiary. And, you know,
the LLC can have a checking account where you can accumulate a portion of the rent and say, hey, you know, we're going to pay out 50% of what the LLC makes, and we're going to keep 50% in to cover the new roof, the new whatever that has to be done.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool things you can do there. So, you know, make sure you do it.
And that would be an attorney would do that. Your firm doesn't do those LLCs, right?
Well, I mean, you can set up an LLC very easily by going on to any state website and set up the LLC. But in your situation, you're going to need a legal LLC agreement to lay
an
out
operating
all the
agreement.
An operating agreement to lay out all the rules as to who gets to do what and, you know, who's in charge and who's not in charge and what happens if you want in or out. So, yeah, you would want a lawyer to do that final legal agreement, you know. So, and it would probably, you know, it depends on which state you create the LLC in. If I were you, I'd probably create it in Pennsylvania because the property's in Pennsylvania, you know, because if you create the LLC in Maryland and then assign it to the Pennsylvania property, you'd have to do a Maryland registration and a foreign entity doing business in Pennsylvania. And so that's why I would probably just create it in Pennsylvania.
And get a Pennsylvania attorney to draft it for you.
Yeah, what state, city in Pennsylvania is it near?
Hanover.
Hanover, okay. Well, there's a great attorney in Mechanicsburg. His name's Aaron Jackson. He's always done great work. Matter of fact, you know, as I said a few weeks ago, my mother passed away. And he's handling my mother's estate. You know, he's a great attorney, very reasonable in cost and so forth. All right?
Terrific. Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
All right.
Great call. Mike, we're on an open show. What are you doing, man? You're not getting any callers. What's going on there, buddy?
I don't know. Lines are open. You can hear how helpful we just helped that last gentleman. Maybe you've got something in your family estate plan that we can assist with. But I will share another one of those items, of the unseen losses. And for
invisible losses.
So if any of our listeners, some of them might have, you know, larger portfolios, and they might have portfolios where they carry a lot of different fixed income instruments and funds. And I was just at a Schwab conference with all, you know, leaders of Schwab RIA firms. And we were talking about different things for the season. And somehow it brought up, you know, the spreadsheet that we create for our clients for their portfolios, where we put all of the different fixed income investments in there. And then we can figure out by the popular states how much of that is state tax deductible, or what do you call that? State
U.S. government interest. It's deductible on the state return.
But, yeah, most advisors that I talk to never advised on that. And we know that if you don't provide it to the tax preparer is not going to go through and customly, you know, research each one of your fixed income bond funds and find out how much you could be saving in state taxes.
Some custodians do give that to their clients. Like Fidelity gives a detailed list of every one of your mutual funds and how much percentage is U.S. government. But you're right. The majority of custodians don't. They just say, here's your dividends, here's your interest, here's your mutual funds, have a good day, see you later.
If it's a $50,000 portfolio, it's probably not going to make that big of a difference. But if you've got a few hundred thousand, it could be.
I think the average client of ours this year, Mike, is $3,000 to $10,000 in U.S. government interest that I've been seeing come through. And some of them, I just had one this morning that was as high as $58,000 in U.S. government interest.
Yeah.
So if you didn't catch that, that would have been a significant Maryland income tax bite right there.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're on an open show, Michael. We're talking anything you want to talk about on your personal finances, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. Maybe it's Social Security. Maybe it's Medicare. I get those questions asked all the time, Mike. I can't tell you how many times people call me up and say, hey, I'm turning 65. I got to go on Medicare. How do I do that? And I say, well, wait a minute. You're still working, aren't you? Aren't you on your medical insurance? And yeah, I am, but I'm 65. I got to sign up or I'm going to get penalized. No, that's not the way that works. We have to work on, you know, and so forth. So there's a ton of questions out there that we could be talking about with anybody who has a question. And if you want to call in and direct the conversation, 410-922-6680 is the way to call in. You know, Mike, I was meeting with Sean Casey, looking at his own tax return, and I said, look here, if your income was just $4,101 more, your tax liability would have gone up by $2,000. And watch this. And I put it in and boom, it went up by $2,000. He says, that's amazing. And I said, now watch this. I'll take $1 out and it'll go back down $2,000. And he goes, that's amazing. I mean, he says, how can that be possible? Well, the answer is it is possible. And if you don't know, is there a way to get your income down below that $1? That it costs you, that's a big time invisible loss right there, Mike. You know? So, anyway, if you want to call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680 is the way to call in. 410-922-6680. Take it away, traffic.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBL.
We're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here on an open show. We see Marion Middle Rivers called in. Maybe you also want to follow her. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask any question dealing with your personal finances. And I want to just finally got the full details. Everything's firm, right, Michael?
Yep.
May 8th. That's a Wednesday. That's just before the show. We'll come on May 8th at 3 o'clock at the DoubleTree Hotel. We're having an event for our listeners, a listener appreciation, we call it. You come in and meet us in person. And we're gonna be talking about the book, The Financial Physical, but we're also going to be talking about some of the top tax and financial planning tips that you need to know. And if you want to be a part of that event, we'll also have some refreshments, some real refreshments, right, Mikey? I don't like that just Coke and coffee. You know, I want some good wine and so forth. So we'll have some refreshments. We'll have some appetizers, and you can come meet us. You can get a book, and you know, we'd love to see you. We'd love to meet you. We've heard talked to so many of you. I'd like to put a face to your names, and if you want to be part of that May 8th event, it requires a RSVP. You have to call the office, and you've got to be on the list to be able to be part of that event that day. And if you want to do that, it's 410-823-7283. Now, the easy way to remember that is 410-823-SAVE, S-A-V-E. That means 410-823-7283. So 410-823-SAVE is an easy way to call in tomorrow. And whoever answers phone, normally it's going to be Krista. She'll start taking your names and your email address so that she can, you know, just keep you reminded the week before, the day code two before, and say, hey, you're scheduled to come May 8th at the DoubleTree, and, you know, 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock. We did it that late afternoon because, you know, you're tired after the end of work. If you could get off a little early and come to that, I think it's a lot easier than waiting until the end of the day and then saying, gosh, you know, I'm really tired, you know. So anyway, hopefully it works for you. What'd you say, Mike?
I was going to say, and we also have a radio show to put on right after it, so.
Yeah, and we got to go anyway because we'll have to do the show at 6 o'clock, so 410-823-SAVE is the way to call in and make your reservation. We'll be reminding you for the next couple of weeks, but sometime in like the beginning of April, we're going to start inviting our clients, and then the place will immediately fill up. We only have, what, 75 holds? That's it?
Yep.
So first 75, that's it. So if you want to be a part of it, 410-823-SAVE, May 8th, 3 o'clock. Let's go to Mary in Middle River, Mickey.
Mary, how can we help?
Hello. I'm calling because I do have a will.
Good.
But I made it up a very long time ago, and I'm not sure now if I need to do something different or a little more or what. I'm wondering. I had always heard that there was a certain amount of money in the state of Maryland. If you didn't have a certain amount of money, it didn't go through probate, you don't have to worry about anything at all.
No, that's not true.
Mm, okay.
So if you have any kind of money, you're going to go through either a probate estate or you're going to go through what's called a small estate. So if you have less than, I think it's like $50,000, you're still going to have to go through probate, but it's going to be an easier, gentler, more kinder type of probate. But if your assets are over $50,000, you got to go through full probate.
Oh, okay. And that
so,
does change things.
Yeah, it does. Anyway. You know, have you had a lawyer review it for you lately?
No. I haven't done anything since just such a long time ago.
Oh, well, it's probably time to at least have somebody look it over for you, you know? I think that would be a good thing. How many children do you have?
I have two sons.
Okay. There you go.
I always looked at it as they are both executors, even though one's on the West Coast and one is here. And I decided that, you know, they get along well, they're not going to argue, so...
Well, what normally would happen in that case, Mary, is the one on the West Coast would probably say to their sibling, hey, I'm going to resign, you just handle it, and this is the deal we'll make with each other for you to do that. And that's normally, but you're right. I think you're right to make them joint, make them make that deal with each other. Don't you make that deal for them, okay?
Yeah.
So you did well by choosing them both to be executors.
Well, I was advised to just have the one on the East Coast here, and I said, no, I don't think so.
No, you let your brothers negotiate that out later. Don't make
sons.
That decision for your sons. Okay. Yeah, whatever, Mike. The young guys that are she's given, and you know, she's made the executors, her sons. All right, Mary, so get a lawyer to review that with you, okay?
Okay.
And all right.
Would I maybe... be better off if I came to your DoubleTree Hotel on May 8th and got more information?
If you want to come, we'd love to meet you in person. So yeah, come on May 8th, and you know, you can. We're going to ask questions. We're going to take questions also. We're going to talk. We're going to give you a book, and we're going to answer questions if people have questions. So, all right. So it'd be great to see you. All right. Thanks, Mary.
Thanks, Mary. Take care. All right. Well, we've got plenty of lines open for the rest of the show, but we're going to go 410-922-6680, but we'll go right to Will in Pikesville. Will, how can we help?
Hi.
Hey, Will.
So my proverbial friend and his siblings are named in a life estate deed without powers.
Okay.
And they're thinking that they might, you know, in cooperation with their parent, they're thinking that they might want to sell the place to help provide for the parents' care. So I was wondering, what are the issues with respect to long-term capital gains?
So the deed is in the parents' name, but the parents have done a life estate deed without powers.
Without powers, yes, and the siblings are all the remainder men.
And the siblings are all the remainder men.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if the parents sell the place, I believe the taxation still falls upon the parents. But, you know, I haven't done that one, you know. Normally, we just, if we do that, we're doing it in contemplation of death, and we wait until the people pass away before we ever sell it. But, I can't tell you with absolute assuredness. Either one of those words works, certainty or assuredness, that if they sell it while they've given away the powers, that the taxation still goes to the parents, but I'm pretty sure it does.
Well, the reason that I ask is, from what I've read, okay, the way that the proceeds are divided is that the lifetime tenant actually gets a smaller value based on their age, but I haven't been able to find it where how that's calculated. That's why I was curious.
You know, that's now that you say that, that actually reminds me that you're right, that there is a division between how many years of their life expectancy on that, and you know, and so forth. That's why I normally don't. I kind of cringe when people say they're going to put on a life estate deed without powers. I prefer them to keep powers. Unless they're doing it for long-term care planning, and if they are, the objective is to just hold that house until the day they pass away. Then the children get a full step-up in basis. The house is protected from Medicaid. Da 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 da.
And so, that was supposed to be the case. However, it seems that the parent may make too much money for Medicaid at the moment, you know, and may have to come up with some additional ways of reducing that.
Yeah, well, keep in mind that house, are they still living in the house together?
Well, I mean, it's just a single parent, yes.
Oh, just one parent. Well, keep in mind that house can still be held and apply for Medicaid without selling that house if they can just figure out how to get the cash into a position that Medicaid will accept them, because then Medicaid will just lean against that house. Am I making that clear?
I'm not sure, because the whole reason I'm asking this question is that as you say, the provisions for long-term care, well, it seems that at the moment the money may run out, so they're looking for additional funds.
So that's the only asset left is the house?
And their pension and their Social Security.
Okay. So, I mean, you know, another option is that they could potentially do some kind of loan against the house. And, you know, and try to keep it going that way, you know, and it just depends on what they expect the life expectancy of their parent to be, you know, if they want to go that route. But there is going to be a division of the gain amongst everyone, and whatever goes to the siblings is not going to be eligible for any kind of, step up in basis or anything, because the parent hasn't died.
Oh, yes, but I mean, there's still expenses involved with the maintenance of the place.
That I would expect,
you know, to increase the basis.
No, that doesn't necessarily increase the basis, whatever maintenance you have and so forth. So, I have to take another pause. If you want to come back, we can still talk about this when I come back, because I don't have anybody online right now. But if you want to get online, 410-922-6680. And we got to go to traffic. Take it away, traffic.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth. There are two main personal finance issues. How do I reduce taxes, and when can I retire? The Financial Consulate is passionate about both. My personal passion is reducing your tax liabilities because I believe tax laws are illogical and complex. I relish in helping you legally reduce taxes. It delights me and my team to help you retire and remain confident throughout your retirement. Robust retirement planning software and our comprehensive knowledge can build the assurance you need to plot out your retirement goals. If you have $1 million or more invested, including company plans, then we will do a tax planning analysis and retirement plan projection at no cost. If tax savings and retirement are your main concerns, then call 410-823-7283. That's 410-823-SAVE, or search Financial Consulate. That's consulate like an embassy. Let us show you how to lower your tax liability and confidently prepare for retirement.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Let's go to Will real quick. Will, a couple things we found on the break is you're right, that you look it up and it says the IRS can allocate the gains to the remainderman, but doesn't give us any indication how. But keep in mind that you got to step up in basis when your one parent passed away. Right? Because they owned it jointly at that time. Is that correct? Is Will still there?
Nope. I think we lost Will.
Will left. So, but anyway, he should think about that. He's got a joint. If they held it jointly, he got a step up in basis for half the house. And if the mother or whoever it is that's the survivor is still living there and it's been their home for two of the last 5 years, they get that $250,000 exclusion also. You know, there's a good chance they could just submit it and say, here you go, this is what we think the results are, and see what if the IRS wants to even contest it or anything. So anyway, let's move on to our next question.
All right, Mickey. Sandy in Ellicott City, how can we help?
Yes, this is kind of an not a normal question. My boyfriend has like a 50-acre farm in western Howard County. In Howard County, they have such a thing as called a DEO, a density exchange, that developers can buy from a person in order to make a development work somewhere else.
Right.
Thinking of selling them because he could, at the rate of exchange today, he could probably get like $600,000. Now, he still owes on the farm less than half of that. So how does he have to work those money? I mean, is there a capital gains where it has to be reinvested in a short time?
I don't think he has a 1031 exchange opportunity with that kind of a sale.
No.
I think that that's just a deal where he's selling the rights to something, and that would be considered normally we consider it a reduction in bases, right, Mike?
Yep, as long as there's enough bases there to cover it.
As long as there's enough bases there to cover it and so forth. So, he would just have to figure out how much bases does he have in the property, how much is he selling. And so let's say the property's worth $1 million and he sells $600,000 worth and he has $550,000 in it, then we would consider it that he has a $50,000 gain, and the rest of the property has no basis left in it if he ever sells it in the future. That's the way we would handle it.
Oh, okay. So he's not as bad off as I thought. We were thinking he'd have to do something with that large sum of money.
Well, we've never done a density exchange issue. We've done lots of different,
deforesting and...
You know, we've done those, and we've done the sales of the building rights to the counties and so forth. And that's how we've always handled it. So, I've not done the density one. So there could be something unique about that one that could go different, that they prorate it as a basis and gain and so forth. But I doubt it. I'm assuming it's done the same way. So I can't answer you. Absolutely, it's two questions in a row, Mike.
I know, they're stumping us tonight.
You know, they're asking questions that are really out there, but that's
great
the way
question, though.
That's the way we would normally treat it, and that's the way we would assume that it's going to be treated. But you'd have to look up the specifics on the Howard County Density Exchange and make sure that's the way that it's considered handled.
Okay, even though that they buy the rights to it, that property is still his, and when he goes to sell the farm, that land is also included in the sale.
Correct. Yes, I understand. But you see, what happens is he has 100, let's say he has 100 acres, and he has 50 building rights on 100 acres, okay? So he sells those building rights off to a builder. Now he's got 100 acres with no building rights, okay? But the property is worth less now than what he originally had when he had 100 building rights on it. And the cash that he brought in should offset his bases first, and then whatever he, you know, if it uses up his whole basis, then the remaining property, if he ever sells it, is 100% taxable.
Okay.
And if he holds it till the day he dies, he gets a step up in basis, and the end of the story, nobody ever pays taxes on it, you know? So, you know, there could be a lot of good planning there. All right? Good question. Okay. Interesting.
All right, thanks,
question.
All right, we'll go right to Jim. Jim, how can we help?
Yeah, my wife's going to retire the first of next year. And can she have the employer still take out her Roth contribution?
You mean to her 401k or to her IRA?
To her IRA.
Well, if she's retired, you mean from her pension or something or what?
Yeah, her pension, They send her pension.
You can't contribute to a Roth IRA unless you have earned income, and if you're married, either spouse can have the earned income to. So if you still have earned income, then yes, she could continue to contribute to a Roth IRA. But if you don't have earned income and she's retired and she doesn't have earned income, then neither of you can contribute to an IRA. Period.
You can still do
conversions. You just can't do contributions anymore. Right?
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Well, thanks, Jim. Thanks for calling in with an easy question for us. what else? Anybody else, Mikey?
Nope. We thought we weren't going to get through everybody, and then we ran through everybody real quick.
And we ran through everybody real quick. So maybe you have a question, Mike. I think Will and Sandy's questions were really cool questions, you know, because you don't see that very often. And there are a lot of attorneys that are running around pushing titling the property without rights, without powers. What that means, Mike, is that, you know, I say, Mike, I'm going to give you my house. But I get to live into it for the rest of my life. But you own the house, and only you can borrow money against the house. Only you can sell the house. That's called me giving you a life estate deed where I get to stay here, but you hold all the powers from that day forward. And the day I die, boom, you have the property without me living in it anymore. That's without powers means. And I typically don't like it. Except if we really know we're going to need to do that for long-term Medicaid planning, long-term care, elder care planning. But there are attorneys out there that are pushing this on people and telling people at 60 and 70 years of age that are perfectly healthy but fearful of long-term care somewhere 10, 20 years down the road saying, yeah, you ought to do a life estate deed now. Without powers, and you know, you trust your children, so what's the difference, you know?
Right.
And the difference is that you never know what the future holds.
Hey, I'll talk about a legal scam. So it's technically legal, but it still should be considered a scam that I'm seeing for our business owner listeners. So there was a number of tax credits through the pandemic that applied to businesses, and there are companies out there marketing this, you know, magical method to get you money. And the one I most recently got says, we will we will do this magic for you to get you the employee retention credit, and we will give you 75 cents on the dollar.
and then you get to pay with that 75 cents on the dollar the IRS agent that's coming to talk to you about your employee retention credit, you know?
Yeah, so just be careful anytime advice seems to be coming with a sense of greed or fear.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the age-old thing. When it sounds too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true, you know? So anyway, we were on an open show. We'll be on an open show next week. But anyway, let's tell our listeners again that we're having a listener appreciation. We get to meet you face-to-face. You get to meet us face-to-face. You can put a face to the voice or the name or whatever. And it's May 8th, 3 o'clock, DoubleTree Hotel, right here where we do the radio show. The radio show's in one of the office buildings right beside the DoubleTree.
So we should tell them so that they're not disappointed. You know, in person, I'm not as good looking as how great this voice sounds.
Yeah, I was going to say that, Mike. Anyway, if you want to call in and get your reservation, 410-823-7283, 823-SAVE. Is the easy way to remember that. 410-823-SAVE is the way to call in and make your reservation for May 8th, 3 o'clock at the DoubleTree Hotel. Anyway, Mike, end of the show again.
Yep.
Moves quick.
Also, info@financialconsulate.com. That's info@financialconsulate.com.
Oh, that's another way you can sign up, right?
Yep.
All right. Anyway, this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless. Things are gonna